Hey church, it's good to be with you. Thanks for joining us as we get into the Word of God. Let's turn to Psalm 100 this morning. Psalm 100. We went through Psalm 19 last week, and I like to just go to the Psalms at times to kind of get some refreshment. They're very devotional. They help stir your affections for worship. And this Psalm really is going to hit on this whole idea of worship. And so I want to talk about the heart of worship this morning. Some of you know that's pulled from a Matt Redman song he came out with in the 90s, The Heart of Worship. And I think really getting down to the root of what is worship and why is it important. And so I want us to look at this psalm today. I think it's easy as we grow up. Some of you have grown up in the church. Some of you haven't. But I think it's easy as we come to Sundays, what we would call a worship service, it's easy to kind of go through the motions, do what we do because of tradition's sake. It's just something that we do, and we begin to lose sight of why we do it. What's so important about Sundays, right? And worship is more than just Sundays, but specifically this morning I'm talking about the Sunday gathering. We're going to look at who we're supposed to worship. I think you all know that, right? Who we're to worship, how we're to worship, and also why we're to worship from Psalm 100. And so I pray if we've lost this, if we kind of come to Sundays and we're like, you know what, I feel like my heart's not really engaged, I pray that God would bring us back to the heart of worship, that He would restore the joy of His salvation, that we wouldn't take it for granted, but that we would say, Lord, thank You for all that You've done. We bless Your name. So let's read Psalm 100 together. It's a psalm for giving thanks. It says, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word to us, God. Thank You that You have preserved it for us, and that You speak to us, Lord, by it. Thank You that every word of God, every word here in this Bible is from You. And so, Lord, we just pray that You would write Your eternal truth on our hearts. We pray that You would restore the glory of worship to us, God. If this has become lost on us, God, I pray that You would revive our hearts. Help us to see it for what it is. We love You, Lord. We pray You bless our time in Your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. What comes into your mind when you hear the word worship? I think for many of us, the Sunday gathering, right? A church service is what comes to mind. It's almost a place that we go. We go to church so that we can worship. I think this is kind of the basic understanding that most people have about worship. The thing about our faith, you guys, and I think it's really important to remember this, because there are a lot of different religions in the world, okay? And Christianity is concerned with not just what we do, but why we do it. So it's not just about going to church and going to a worship service. It's really about why do you go? Why do you go to the worship service? Why do you go to church? Why do you go to prayer meeting or Bible study or the things, you know, ministries in the church? Why are you a part of those things? Why do you serve the Lord? See, these why questions are important for us. Because again, our faith is not just about what we do, but it's about why we do it. And this psalm is going to get into some of that. It's going to command us to do certain things. It's going to tell us, hey, worship the Lord. But it's also going to tell us why. And it's going to tell us how we should do that. Those things are important as well. Look at what the first verse says. Notice who we're supposed to worship. Who are we called to worship? He says this, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. And then it goes on, verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. And so first and foremost, we're called to worship the Lord. And verse 3 kind of hones in more specifically. Look at what it says. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. When we come and gather together on Sundays, we're coming to worship God. And some of you might say, you know what, I just like coming to church to see people. They got donuts. I know we don't have donuts right now, but we have in the past. And you know, it's not bad to come to church for those reasons. I think just the ultimate reason is that we want to come to worship God. When we have that heart, it doesn't matter what kind of music we're singing, right? Sometimes there's been what's been called worship wars in churches, where some people are like, no, we want to sing hymns. And other people are like, we want contemporary music. And there's this big battle that takes place within the church because the style of music doesn't fit everybody. When we have this heart to worship the Lord, those things don't matter. The preaching, the teaching, you know, obviously we want it to be rooted in the Word, and we want to be getting things from it. But we're not just saying, okay, I want the Sunday sermon to be my food for the week. I want it to deliver something that would be pretty much a big miracle, right? Because the chances are, if you ate once a week, you would not be doing well. You got to feast on the Word of God throughout the week. If you're getting your primary food from Sunday, that's not going to be good enough to sustain you through the week. I love my dad's heart in this. My dad is a believer, and I remember growing up in church, he's just very easygoing with this. And so I think he can go to anywhere and worship. Like, it doesn't really matter the church. You know, different churches have different styles. He doesn't get tripped up on those things. He's like, you know what? I'm here to worship the Lord, and all that other stuff is like, that's a side note. And that always stuck with me. I think that's a great example of just someone who's like, you know what? I'm going to enter into the presence of God. I'm going to enter in with a community of faith, and I'm going to worship the Lord. If you got hymns, great. If you got contemporary music, awesome. If the preaching speaks to me, great. If it's kind of like, eh, that's fine. And I love that heart. Like, when we come to Sunday service, what are we coming with? What kind of expectations do we come with? And I think we should come with some expectations. We want God to meet us, and we want him to speak to us. I think some of that means we have to prepare our hearts beforehand. Right? Oftentimes we're up late Saturday night. We're not really thinking about Sunday till like the morning. And I think some of us would benefit from taking some time to prepare our hearts before the Lord. Saying, Lord, I'm coming to gather with your people tomorrow. I pray that you would speak to us, that you would shape us, that you would be exalted in our worship. When's the last time you prayed for the worship service? I think this is a big thing for us, guys. I think we want to start opening up a prayer time before we meet. Some of you who come and help serve, you know that we pray before we have Sunday service. But I really want to be intentional with this, you guys. Just carving out like 15 minutes beforehand and just saying, let's pray and let's seek the Lord and let's ask the Lord to bless the service, that he would bring people, that he would speak to us, that he would be exalted in our worship. See, the psalmist here begins and he just says, hey, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. And I love this because Christianity is a faith about joy. And oftentimes we're guilty of the opposite, right? When people think about Christians or people going to church, there's almost like a somber presence or like a sadness. There's like a gloom. But here, what we see throughout Scripture is that there is joy available in Jesus. There's more joy found in the presence of God than there's found in the world. See, everybody worships. And many of you know this. Just turn on the TV. Watch a Dodger game. Watch an NBA playoff game. Look at the crowds of people. Look at the excitement. Look at when their team scores, how they react. They cheer. They shout. They're making a joyful noise. But it's not to the Lord. It's because your team scored. And again, there's nothing wrong necessarily with cheering for your team. But the question I have for us is, are we more excited about worldly things than we are about the God who made the whole world? And I think many of us would have to say, you know what? I do get more excited by these other things, by entertainment, by video games, by basketball, by sports, by traveling. There are other things that get me more excited about life than God. And I think it begins with being honest with ourselves. What is it really that my heart really attaches to, that I really look for meaning and purpose and significance from? Because here the psalmist is showing us a better way. He's saying, hey, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. And the thing is this, God does not need our praises. He does not need our worship. This is an invitation to experience fullness of joy in Jesus. Psalm 16 says this, in your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. And I think that's speaking about heaven when we're there, but I think we can get a foretaste of that in the here and now. There is fullness of joy available in Jesus. And the psalmist calls us to make this joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. He invites us to enter into the joy of our Savior. And notice it's not about how we sing, right? He goes on in verse 2. He says, come into his presence with singing. You might say, I don't have a good voice, right? Like when we're singing, sometimes it's nice to hear the worship leader sing. And we're like, okay, my voice isn't as good. But you know what? The Lord does not say make a great sounding noise. Make an amazing angelic noise. No, make a joyful noise. You worship God with the voice that he gave you. You punish him with it, right? God, you gave me this voice. I'm giving it back to you. I think there's something to be said. For those of you who are self-conscious about singing, I would just encourage you. You know what? It doesn't matter what anyone around you thinks. All that matters in worship is your heart to God's. It's us coming together and giving the Lord the praise that's due his name. Look at the first part of verse 2. He says, serve the Lord with gladness. Now, I think many of us know that we're called to serve the Lord in some shape or form. Right? We serve him by using our talents and abilities and gifts. Right? We serve other people. We serve the Lord through our giving. There are a multitude of ways that we serve the Lord. But again, our faith is not just about the do's and the don'ts. It's about the motivations behind those things. And here, serving the Lord is not really ultimate. Okay? Remember what Jesus said when he came? The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. What does Jesus want first and foremost from us? It's not service. Paul says in Acts 17, God is not served by human hands as though he needed anything, but he himself gives life and breath to all things. So we see this theme throughout Scripture, that God does not need our service. The Son of Man actually didn't come to be served, but he came to serve. And so we must first see how God has served us in Christ. Have you seen how the Lord has served you this morning? Have you seen that he's given his life for you? Are we merely stressing the do's and the don'ts of our faith? Or are we saying, you know what? No, it's not just about serving the Lord. It's about serving him with gladness. And if the joy and the gladness is not there, then that's when we have to pray, God, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Sometimes I think we're settling for less than God's best. We're saying, I just got to get through it. I just got to push through. I just got to serve the Lord. I don't really want to, but I'm just doing it because I feel like it's my duty. Listen, if that's where you're at this morning, you need to go back to the cross. Go back to the cross. See your Savior on it. See his love for you there. Hands open wide. Nails in his hands. Crown of thorns on his head. He's giving his life for you. He's saying, I'm serving you in the ultimate way. I'm doing for you what you can never do for yourself. I'm accomplishing salvation for you. And listen, when we think about the cross, we think about his love for us. It begins to warm our hearts. How can you not help but singing, right? How could we be like, oh, I'm going to hold back my praises? When we really meditate on the cross, it brings forth this joy, this gladness in us. We saw who we worship. We looked at how we're to worship. And lastly, I want us to see why we're to worship. Why we're called to worship. Verse 5, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Why do we worship the Lord? Because he's good. And listen, I understand there's a tension here sometimes because we say, wow, how come the world is so broken and how come there's so much pain and suffering? How can we reconcile this fact that God is good? Here's one thing we do know, and I don't have all the answers, but we know this, that God is not removed from the pain and suffering in the world. He's not just like, okay, you guys blew it. Have fun fixing your lives. He's like, you know what? I'm going to leave my throne on high and enter your broken world. And I'm going to endure the ultimate act of evil and suffering for you. So if there's one thing that we could say, it's that God cares for us. He cares enough to get involved in our mess. The good God cares enough for us to say, you know what? I'm going to enter the evil and the brokenness that is your world, and I'm going to demonstrate my goodness on the cross. That's why it says his steadfast love endures forever. There's nothing that can separate us from his love. When you truly encounter the love of God, it transforms your life. You know, for me, growing up in the church, I think I knew that God was good, but I didn't know how good. And I begin to understand more of God's goodness when I begin to rebel. And some of you have experienced that. Some of you are there now. You don't understand what you have in the Lord. And so you have to go on and you go do your own thing. You go prodigal son style, right? I'm just going to go live my life for myself, try to get happiness on my own terms. And that just left me in a dark place. It left me in a tough spot. It left me at the bottom. It left me in this place where, like the prodigal son, I was at a low point. And the Lord, by his grace, allowed me to come to my senses. And you know what really transformed my life? You know what really got me in that season? It was knowing that God still loves me even in this place. Even in this dark place that I'm at. That's what I realized, like, wow, God loves me even here. Not just when I go to church, not just when I'm trying to be a good guy. He loves me when I'm at my worst. And some of you need to hear that this morning. God loves you, not based upon what you've done or what you haven't done or what you have done. It's only based upon his grace. He is good in and of himself. And he's not just good when we're good. He's good even when we're not good. And this is really the gospel. God shows his love for us in this, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And the Bible says it's a loving kindness of God that leads us to repentance. For those of you who are walking in rebellion against God, I would encourage you, recognize the loving kindness of God toward you. For those of you who are in a spot where you're like, you know what, I feel like I'm so weighed down by my sin. I'm getting busted for my sin. Know this, that God, he busts you because he loves you. Okay? He disciplines those he loves. This is a good sign that you're experiencing the weight of guilt. The guilt is meant to lead you to the cross. The loving kindness of the Lord endures forever. I pray with like Paul prayed, that we would experience the length and the height and the depth and the breadth of the love of God in Christ Jesus for us. We need our capacity. We need our horizons to be expanded. We need our spirits to be open to be able to receive this love from God. He says here, the last part, his faithfulness endures to all generations. God will continue to be faithful. He's faithful to his promises. He's faithful to complete the work that he begun in your life. And he'll be faithful throughout the generations. And this is an amazing promise that we cling to. That this moment is not just about us, but it's about future generations and the decisions that we make now. The way that we worship the Lord now and the way that we prioritize him now will have a direct impact on the generations. God will be faithful. But I pray that we would position ourselves, that we leave a godly legacy. And verse 4 says, I'm going to go back to verse 4 real quick. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. I pray that we would be people who enter into worship, that we would come with a thankful heart. We wouldn't just see all the things that we don't have, but that we'd really recognize all the good things that God's given us. We would take time to count our blessings. We would enter his courts with praise, even when we don't feel like it, right? The scripture calls that a sacrifice of praise because you don't always feel like worshiping the Lord. Can we be real? Again, you don't always feel like going to school if you're a student. You don't always feel like going to work when you're an adult. But you choose to go, right? Most days, some of you. Most days you choose to do those things. Because it's not just about how you feel, it's about the end goal. And when we choose to praise God when we don't feel like it, man, this is an act of faith that God rewards. And sometimes you'll get the feelings later on, sometimes you won't. But this is an act of obedience, something that we say, you know what, I'm going to choose to worship the Lord and just be honest with him. You could just be real, just like, God, I don't really feel like worshiping right now. I'm kind of mad at you. I have these certain issues that I'm working through. And that is such an act of worship, to be honest and real with the Lord. He can handle it. He'll walk with you through it. And I believe in the end, it will lead to praise and we'll be giving thanks to him. We'll bless his name. We'll trust him to come through for us in the ways that we want to see him come through. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would bless your people, Lord. I pray you bless us as we hear your word, God. I pray you'd help us to be doers of your word. I pray that you would encourage us, God, to really, as we come on Sundays, Lord, and we enter in throughout the week, that we would come with a heart of worship, not just going through the motions, but really that joy would be restored to us, Lord, the joy of your salvation. Of what it feels like to be saved. We confess, Lord, as time goes on, it's easy to forget what happened, just like the children of Israel, as they were delivered from Egypt. As time went on, they began to grumble and complain. And Lord, we feel that way many times. But Father, we want to turn our hearts to you. Tune our hearts to sing your praise. Remind us of how good you are, that you're good. Your love endures forever. Your faithfulness to all generations. Be exalted in our lives, Lord. Be glorified in us. In Jesus' name, amen.